So this is a workshop. My name's Stan Corley. I'm from Oklahoma City. The format for the workshop is different in that it's not a preaching time. I know that this is being recorded. The trade-off with a workshop, that it's designed to have more give and take, discussion type, and it may not come across as well on tape because usually with the message, it's the, you know, point, conclusion, and that kind of thing, and just one speaker. Workshops are different, so the idea is to have some time to work. My thought is to spend, we have an hour and a half to do this, so if you guys don't get hypoglycemic on me before dinner, hopefully we can get some good stuff done. My thought is to spend about an hour, and I'll be discussing some things, and then intentionally leave a gap of time at the end to take all comers, I mean, to talk about questions and suggestions. I mean, that's the idea of the workshop. So that's what I have in mind. So it may have kind of a stop and go feel to it because we're doing a workshop. So anyway, that's the intention here. So, and the schedule I have is that at 5:30 we're done and we're moving off to something else. So I'll try to make sure we stay on time. And the acoustics of the rooms are a little bit different. I don't have the deepest voice, so the guys in the corner, if I see you falling asleep and you can't hear me, I'll try to yell or something or just... Well, how about if we pray for a moment, and then we'll just get after it. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're here and that our thoughts and the intentions of our heart are no mystery to you. You see them coming before we even think of them, and there's nothing about us that can surprise you. And the fact that you would want to open your heart and your ears to let us talk to you and communicate back to us is just, it's a marvel. It's amazing. And Father, we pray that in this time, I pray for my colleagues here, that at least even one thing we might be able to latch on to that will improve our friendship with you. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is basically on what we call a quiet time. There are different names for this. I recall when I was in high school, I had made a lordship commitment to try to walk with God. And one of my buddies began following up on me, and I didn't realize what he was doing. He had been trained by an Air Force guy at Tinker Air Force Base on how to do basic follow-up. And I learned later what he was doing, which I appreciated. On our way home from school, we were just walking on the road, and he said, "Corley, do you have a daily quiet time?" And we were talking about some spiritual things. And I remember, let's see, there's the quiet game, you know, spin the bottle, all this other kind of stuff. And I wasn't sure what he meant. And he said, "Well, you know, at a time when it's just everything's quiet, it's just you and God, you can pray." And I remember thinking, well, you know, when all the lights are out and Mom, Dad has told us to go to sleep and everything's quiet, I can kind of think about God and pray a little bit. And that's all I knew. So he said, "Oh, somebody's he's clueless." So he introduced me to the idea of quiet time. And he said, "Well, why don't you just read till God speaks to you and then pray that back to God just before you go to bed?" And I thought, well, great. And I had a King James Bible. That's all I had. But I was reading through, it started in the book of John. And sure enough, I was reading that stuff. And, you know, the words kind of seemed to come off the page a bit. And then I could talk that back to God. And it introduced me to the daily quiet time. And, of course, I'm you know, grateful to Paul for helping me with that. But this isn't rocket science. It's not, you know, difficult to do. This is something children can do, so, and grown-up children can do. When you look through Scripture at men having a relationship with God, there are patterns that we can look to. You know, going back to the Old Testament, one of the early patterns was Adam and Eve walking with God in the garden. Now, there's several others. Daniel, in fact, Daniel, his daily devotional life is what got him in trouble. He kept with a daily habit, you know. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he made a comment that he was spending all of his strength, and he said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." This is Philippians 3:10. And there's this pattern in Scripture of men seeking God, seeking to know Him. And the great commandment, do you remember what the greatest commandment is? Do you remember?
Love the
Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Now, we're talking about a love relationship. I mean, that's the most religious, most spiritual thing you can do. Love God. And in John 17:3, Jesus said, he'd been asked, what great thing must I do, you know, to have eternal life? And he said, this is eternal life. And here's the secret, you know, he's given the secret. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You know, he's talking about knowing. It's a relationship. And in John 1:12, does that reference sound familiar? John 1:12, somebody know that?
To those who received him, those who believe in his name, gave right to him, children of God.
Yeah, those who received him. You know, he showed up, the Messiah showed up, and there are two responses, those who rejected him, those who accepted and received him, took him into their lives. It's a relationship. In at the end of the Bible, Revelation 3:20, Jesus was speaking to the different churches, and one of the things he said to the churches in Revelation 3:20, if any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I'll make my home there. We're going to live together, have a relationship. And Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's not. Fortunately, these days we don't have a time when God shows up and then He disappears. He's present. He's here in the Holy Spirit. He's always available. So now's the time to seek Him. And Jesus stopped. I am skipping around here, if you can follow me. But I'm talking these relationships. It's God encounters. In John 4, Jesus had stopped to rest at a well and sent the disciples into town to get some Arby's and some French fries and stuff. And when he was sitting at the well, this woman showed up, a Samaritan woman showed up. And usually in those days, it just wasn't quite proper for, you know, here's a rabbi, you know, a man of the cloth, and this pagan woman shows up. And normally they'd stay separate. And they get in this conversation. Jesus asked her for some water, and that led to other things. And she recognized he was a prophet because he picked out some very personal things in her life and pointed those out that he shouldn't have known. And then she perceived he was a prophet, and she asked about this Messiah thing that the Samaritans had heard about. In John 4:23 and 24, Jesus said, but the time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Like, not on this mountain or that mountain, but in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. So we have God-seeking men, and of course, men seeking God. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So there's not some thing you wear or something you say. It's a heart thing. And in Romans 4:3, there was a man called Abraham. And it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him, or written down to him, as righteousness. It's not any major thing that he did. Even trying to slay Isaac or being obedient to that wasn't what got him in good graces with God. It wasn't something he did. But God said to him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he believed him. God said it. He believed it. And God reckoned that as righteousness. And then in James, in the New Testament, as James recounted that relationship, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, just that designation that just absolutely amazes me, that someone could be called God's buddy or God's friend, or that someone could be worthy of that label. But here, Abraham was called God's friend because he believed him. Then Job 13:15, Job, again, this relationship, you know, relating to God. He was going through some hard times, but he made this comment. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if life gets hard, even if God himself were to slay me, I still am going to trust him. And that, remember with Abraham, that trusting was considered righteousness. And this is relationship stuff. This is, you know, not man to man, or not man to man, but man to God, and one-to-one relationship. So this whole thing of quiet time, it's a it's a tool, a pattern, it's a holy habit to develop that friendship. And one of the things that's just a theme for me this particular year is just to grow in that friendship, you know, with God and me. Nobody else is in on it. It's just God and me, you know. Am I his friend? And this holy habit is a way to pursue God, to develop that. In our culture, of course, a lot of what we're doing assumes people can read. I understand that there are other cultures where there's not a written language. They may not have their own Bible. And so, even some of the things I'm saying here may not fit. And I kind of recognize that. But where we are, I think one of these things will fit. So, holy habit. You know, it does help to look at patterns. Can anybody tell me in Scripture where it says, thou shalt have daily quiet time? But wait a minute, you're navigator guys. You can't tell me where that is? nobody. Okay. Well, it ain't there. I mean, if you look for it. So there's not an 11th or 12th commandment, thou shalt have a daily quiet time. But it does help to filter our habits or customs through Scripture to make sure that, you know, there's a reason why we're doing it. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, consider those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. So there is the precedent that if we see godly men who are living a type of life and it's bearing fruit, you know, pay attention to that and imitate it. It's a good thing to do. And that may involve some habits and customs that could vary by the culture, but still, it's a good thing to do. Imitate godly men, especially your teachers. So, Daniel, we talked about Daniel, he had the habit, the daily habit of meeting God. David, interestingly, had a number of kinds of quiet times. If you read through the Psalms, it was a lot of that's his prayer journal set to music. There were times he prayed on his bed. He prayed on the steps of the tabernacle. There wasn't a temple in his days. He prayed kneeling. He prayed standing. He prayed with his hands outstretched. There are a lot of things he did. He prayed in the morning. He prayed in the noontime. He prayed at night bedtime. He also prayed in the middle of the night. So there were a lot of times when he pursued that relationship. So it's helpful to figure that out. And Jesus, one of the things he did after a busy night of doing medical clinic work and teaching and counseling, everybody else went to bed. He got to bed late. And then it said he rose up a long time before the sun came up. And he went off to a lonely place and he prayed there. So there's a habit. Even Jesus had this habit, this holy habit of getting alone with God. And then right before he was to face the cross, do you remember what he was doing the last thing before he was captured? He was in the Passion movie, but do you remember what he was doing? Yeah, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he had his cup of coffee and was sitting in a comfortable couch with an Afghan looking. Yeah, watching the disciples sleep, yeah. He was in agony. There's a perception I have had for a long time that a quiet time means you find a comfortable place, you know, and just kind of relax and pray and whatever. And it's not always that way. I mean, he was in agony. But it was a time alone with his Father. It was this relationship. He's working it out. He knew what was coming, and he's unloading his heart, you know, to his Father. But the pattern of all these is that they sought time alone with God. These were not times of public worship. This is time of very private worship, not for men's eyes or ears. It was just because there's this friendship with God, getting alone with your friend. And anyway, that's what we're talking about, the holy habit. And when you, the handout that you have, you can tell I'm not following it completely, so... But this has a lot of what we're going to say, and hopefully it's a resource for you. But I'm not following it exactly, so don't worry if you feel like you're getting lost. But when in this holy habit, the quiet time, or daily devotion, morning prayers, you know, whatever label you want to use for that, I use the word quiet time. But this holy habit, there are really three aspects for that. When you look at all the different ways to do it, there are just basically three aspects. One of those involves reading the Word, or reciting or reviewing the word. And then it's prayer and then reflection. And really, when you look at all the different elements, it's the word of God, prayer, and then reflection. So hopefully we can talk about ways to make it creative, but again, it's the quiet time is the word of God, prayer, and reflection. So be with me so far. Again, this is discussion, but we'll talk about mechanics as we get closer. The word, have you guys picked up the hand illustration? Do you know what I'm talking about, the hand illustration? Some do. There are some free handouts at the book table that I don't have. But it's a sheet that has the hand illustration. And Abu Manar did a workshop. Oh, yes, it's in the book. Yeah, you've got it too. Yeah. Yeah, okay, page 22. These are ways to get God's word into your life. The hand illustration. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. In the quiet time, much of it, you may be a hearer. You may have a tape to listen to, so you're hearing the word. A lot of times it's reading. And again, that assumes we can read. In our culture, missionaries and pastors and others have dedicated centuries of effort to raise a population who can read, many of them motivated by the idea that we could be able to read the Bible for ourselves, and we're bearing the fruit of that. So it does assume you can read or get God's word in some other way, like maybe verses that have been memorized or some other way, but most of us, it's reading. In this workshop, I assume that there are probably three groups of us. There are those who don't have a regular quiet time and are interested in getting started. There are those who have started and stopped, and you're interested in a way to keep going. And then a third group, those who are keeping going, but it just seems kind of dry, how to freshen it up. So I suspect we're in one of those three camps. So let me talk about some mechanics in a way on how to maybe implement some of this. As far as reading, my friend in high school suggested I start with the book of John. John deals with theological terms. Sometimes it may be, if you're not used to the theological terms, sometimes reading the book of Luke may be good to start with. But as you read, you know, there are different parts of the Bible. There's New Testament, Old Testament. And I remember in college or high school, someone had talked about reading the whole Bible through. And, you know, I had read books for book reports and other things like that, which I thought was enough punishment. But the idea of having to read the whole Bible just, you know, it didn't sound very exciting. Plus, it was a big book. I didn't understand it all. It didn't have any pictures either. It was just all writing, you know, a big, thick book. Someone suggested following a reading plan. And this is something that came out of the Discipleship Journal. It's online. I just downloaded it and printed it. And it's a reading plan to read the Bible through. And it has three columns there. Excuse me, it's four columns. But this is a Bible reading plan to read through New Testament and Old Testament sections. And if you follow this through, you will have read the Bible through in a year. And you just do little bits at a time, like eating an elephant. You can't eat an elephant, but you can't do it with big mouthfuls. If you do it just a spoonful at a time, if you stay with it, you're going to eat the whole elephant. But this is available. It's available online and also on the CD that the conference will make available. I have a PEG file of this if you want to download it and print it from that. But it's available online too from the Discipleship Journal. This one breaks the New Testament, I think, in two parts.
That's online, available from Navigator?
Yes, it is at discipleshipjournal.com. Yeah, www.discipleshipjournal.com. And it has some other helps there, too, that you can download. But as far as getting started, keeping going, keeping it fresh, as far as reading the Word of God, this is a way to get started. Now, reading this much may be difficult. If you're just getting started, I would suggest starting small. The idea is to do what you can do and not try to overload it. There's a little brochure, a little booklet, 7 Minutes with God. If you haven't seen that, it's just a little flyer. And it shows how to have 7 minutes of a quiet time. And you start with just a simple prayer of thanksgiving, about 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes reading, and then a simple prayer following that. In 7 minutes, you can have a quiet time. And as far as getting started, I think it would be wiser to pick what you can do and do every day rather than have an hour and a half quiet time one day and then miss it the next day and say, okay, I've blown it, you know, because I can't have a quiet time every day. But reading, Psalm 119, verse 18 is a good prayer to pray before reading, because if you read it and say, I don't understand this, the prayer of Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, help me understand this. Or God, give me one thing from this. And then read. Ask Him to talk to you and then read. So anyway, a Bible reading calendar can help you. It does help also to have a point of time when you do have a quiet time. When is the best time to have your quiet time? Morning. Anybody else?
You're awake.
Now, that's a good idea. Make sure you're awake. Well, morning time, it seems to work for most people. I do have a bit more control over the morning time than I do other times of the day. I remember back in college, I had attended a seminar where the speaker had said that whatever thoughts we have on our minds when we go to bed are what we tend to be thinking about when we wake up in the morning. And, of course, I don't know how he got that or what proof or what, you know, experiment. I don't know where he got that, but so I thought, well, I need to have my quiet time at night. But in college or whatever, I stayed up late. So if it was 12:30 and it's like, okay, I'm going to have my quiet time now. Like Ryan was talking about, if I was toasted, you know, I couldn't keep my mind on it at all. But I thought, well, that was more spiritual than the morning time, because anyway, he said it was the right thing to do. So through the years, what I've tended to do is a little bit of both, and I'll explain that. It's not that it sounds spiritual, it's just practical. But it is good to find a time when you're alert. But it helps also if you're trying to get started or having trouble being consistent, if you make a time to do it. If nothing else, make the time, say, Lord, we have an appointment at whatever time you get up, 6:30. And you organize your time, put it on your day timer or Palm Pilot or whatever, that 6:30 appointment is quiet time. That's when I meet with God. And that habit, that holy habit, that idea of scheduling it is a way to get started. And then if other things come up at 6:30, you know, it's like, hey, look, I've got an appointment. And I know that the early morning meetings, which may throw that off, but it's a way to get it started. Then it is helpful to have a plan, too. And that's why I mentioned having a calendar as one option. When I did read the Bible through, I actually hadn't heard about the calendar then. But I thought, well, I'll just chalk off the books of the Bible as I read them. And it took me about, I think, 3 or 4 years. But I remember in college, I was a junior, and I got to the last book, and I looked at the list, and they all had check marks by them. I'd read through everything, even Leviticus. And I read through the whole Bible. But it was a landmark for me. Another thing, too, is if you're having trouble keeping going, it may be helpful to be accountable to someone. This has been a real help to me. If one of your buddies says, hey, Robbie, how's your quiet time? Say, oh, great. And your last quiet time was maybe 10 days ago. Maybe you have your quiet time 3 times a month, you know, but that's okay for you. If you ask the next question, well, so you're meeting with the Lord every day? Have you missed a day? Well, yeah, and then you squirm or whatever. But being accountable or making yourself accountable to someone else that maybe once a month or once a week you check in and say, I had my quiet time 5 days this week. Or I hit it every day this week. Just having someone who you know is going to ask you, it does put the burr under your saddle and it helps you be more consistent. It has me. It's been a real secret. So making yourself accountable is a way to keep yourself going and a way to get started as well. And again, I would suggest you aim for consistency. Don't try to hit something really big. Find what you can do every day. You can always expand it, but find what you can do. So getting started. And then how to pray, that's when my brain isn't in gear, it's hard for me to find a way to get started. And maybe you've had this experience where you make the appointment. It's 6:30. God, I'm here. And what do I do now? So it's helpful to have a plan. And my wife every now and then will see me having a very deep meditation where my eyelids are closed and, you know, I've faded. You know. So part of the idea is to try to stay awake. There's a pattern for praying, the ACTS. Have you heard of the ACTS acrostic, A-C-T-S? Do you know what that is? What is it, Juan?
Adoration.
Okay, adoration or admiration, yeah.
Confession.
Thanksgiving. T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. Yeah, if you're wondering, how do I pray? What do I do? Well, I mean, there you go. God, thank you for so-and-so. Lord, you're righteous. Thank you for being God. Adoration. Confession. Oh, God, you know, unload the stuff. And then thanksgiving. God, thanks for the car. It works. Got the flat fixed. You know, all that stuff. Got running water. It's warm. My roof doesn't leak anymore. I mean, just thanks. And then supplication. Supplicating basically is a picture of someone crawling on their knees, dragging the dirt, you know, with their nose, pleading with someone very, very, very powerful and important. Can you just give me just a little crumb or something, please? Just, you know, that's supplicating. That's the picture behind it. But getting supplies from God and asking for ourselves and for other people. So it's a pattern. It doesn't have to be complicated. You can expand on that. But it's really pretty simple. So the word, prayer, and then reflection. It does help every now and then just to keep your mouth quiet and just listen to what God says. And sometimes it's just thinking. There can be a danger there because you can let your brain go into neutral, then you don't get anything accomplished. But sometimes it helps just to be still and know that I'm God. And just allow Him to just be God and just reflect. Also, part of reflecting is maybe writing down what He said, journaling. I haven't been daily journaling for a while, but I do keep a book handy. This I got at Barnes & Noble, I think. They have just these blank journals. And this is one. I like these because they're hard to beat up. And this was on sale for like $3. And it's just full of just some lined blank pages. And then it's handy and it's easy to carry. And that way, when there's something I do want to write down to remember it, then I can jot that down and what God said to me. And sometimes what triggered that and journaling. And it's a way to reflect. And during the time of reflecting is when we make application. And there are some helpful questions to ask if we're thinking, okay, I'm looking at this. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But God, is there something here you're saying to me? How does this apply to me? And there's some questions to ask. Is there a sin to avoid or to forsake? Is there an example to follow? Is there a promise here that I can claim? Is there a command I need to be obeying? Is there a new thought about God here? And then you ask the who, what, when, where, why questions, and then allow God to speak to you, and you're reflecting, and reflecting it back to God. You know, you read it, look at Him, and reflect, and allow Him to speak to you. Also, with reflecting, there may be times when certain devotional books can be of help. And those who've done some digesting and have thought through certain verses and then put on page maybe their journal about how God spoke to them. And I think it's helped me in reflecting, in having that reflecting time. Get time in the Word, pray, and then just some other time just to reflect, you know, on heart issues. Now, there are some hindrances helps hurdle hindrances. One of the things that is difficult for many of us is what Ryan was talking about, being tired or fatigued. Several years ago, I spoke to a group of some Chinese students that it was a conference at church, and it was on study habits. And I'm a doctor, so somebody figured that I had good study habits. And so I was talking about getting up on time, you know, going to bed on time, and I thought I was doing a great job. And then the guy who was sponsoring the conference just had heard that, and he was just offering me some tips. And he said, you know, Stan, a lot of the Asian students stay up late, way into the night hours studying, and that's just what they do. It's just a cultural thing, and it does help. That getting up in the morning, you know, getting to bed at night, but you know, for a lot of them it just doesn't work. So I learned something, but anyway, I'm still going to tell you to get to bed on time. Gene Rohr, you hear him quoted a lot because he is a lot of the reason why this conference exists. He and John Crawford, Jim White, and Bob Potter, some patriarchs who plowed ahead and put in place some things that we're enjoying now. So we refer to him a lot, but one of his sayings was, he said, you can't soar with the eagles in the morning if you hooted with the owls all night. And I thought, okay, all right, I get that. So if you want to meet God in the morning and be awake and alert, you need to plan the night before. And it just, you're just going to find that's got the way it's got to be. You can compensate that for a little while, like with caffeine, with coffee, or tea, or my kids, Dr. Pepper, you know, get that caffeine hit. Or what's the one, the red one that has doubled the dose?
Jolt.
Well, there's another one, though, besides that. It's a little small can. What is it? Red Bull. Oh, okay, the Red Bull gives you wings. Okay. Yeah, it's a major hit of sugar and caffeine, and you can do that a little bit. But if you're at the point where you're having to use drugs and sugar to stay awake, you know, it may not long-term be the best idea. But, you know, moderate caffeine, that may be a way to, if that helps you charge your batteries, it may be helpful. One of the things that I had to do, I think in college, you know, when you get out of bed, okay, I got it, I'm going to meet you. And then the alarm goes off, so you reach over and turn off the alarm. And then you wake up later and you realize the sun has come up. It's been an hour, you know. So I thought, well, you know, I'm reaching over, turning off the alarm. That's not working. So I thought, I'll put the clock someplace else so I have to get out of the bed to turn it off. So then it's the deal, you know, I get up, turn it off. As I'm rolling over, the alarm's screaming. And then as I get about to get out of the bed wraps around me and says, no, no, I got to have you. Please don't leave me. You know, and it's like, oh, no. So you know, turn off the alarm and then go back to bed, fall into it. But one of the things that helped me was to turn around and make the bed. That way, you know, I've turned around, I've committed myself, you know, so I make the bed, fold it, and then look at it, and it kind of wakes me up a little bit, and you can still kind of give in and fall on top of it, but at least helped me to kind of make an effort that I'm out of the bed, you know, I can do this. And, you know, it helps to get a shower. Now, you have to figure out what your habits are. You might want to brush your teeth, maybe get the cup of coffee first. I don't know if you want to eat breakfast first. Whatever, you find out what pattern is going to work for you so that you can be alert and be able to pay attention. There are ways to be creative, but, you know, find out what it is. Fatigue is a major, major hindrance. There are certain places in our house where I can sit down and be comfortable. And then there are other places where I can sit down and really be comfortable. And the kitchen table is not nearly as comfortable as the couch or the lazy boy, you know. And there's some days when I just have to, you know, I have to go sit in a chair where I know I can't sleep easily. So you want to be comfortable to the point that you're not distracted. And I think that if you can think through that way, find a place where you're not going to be distracted. And in that sense, make it comfortable. But if it's so comfortable that you're going to go to sleep, well, you may miss an opportunity there. But you got to do it. At some point, it's just that thing, just do it. The thing of being accountable, I've gotten to be part of a Bible study group for actually a number of years now. One of the things we do is make ourselves accountable for our prayer goals, reading goals, and then scripture memory and whatever else we think we should be accountable for. And actually, it's been years we've done this, but one of the things we'd run into is I'd be afraid to not get my reading or my prayer goal in because I'd have to tell the guys I didn't get my every day and I wouldn't look so spiritual. So, but it still is a drive to meet the habit. So the thing, so some would say, well, if it's just a habit for you, why do it? Why just not quit if it doesn't mean anything to you? It still is a holy habit, and I think there's still some benefit in meeting the habit because the chances are greater you're going to meet God if you're meeting your habit than if you didn't do that. So I wouldn't worry about making it spiritual. The other thing, too, with this quiet time, even though you might be making yourself accountable to be consistent with it, you've got to realize you're not being graded. I mean, it took me a long time to figure that out. I'm not doing this to get a grade. You know, the point for this, God, this is you and me. It doesn't matter if somebody else thinks I'm doing this wrong. My point is to get my heart connected with you. Well, that's the point. And this is a personal deal. This is you and me, God. You know, this is not for public consumption. This is you and me. And that's this holy habit. That's the whole point. Fellowship with Him. To be a friend of God. Well, wouldn't that be neat? If somebody would refer to you or if God Himself, or it was written down someplace else that Kevin, he was a friend. He's one of God's friends. And it was known that was the case, you know. Anyway, the tremendous goal. One of the things at the kitchen table, a distraction, is that's often where the newspaper is. And especially during election times, or I'm an OU football fan, guys. Sorry. So I keep reading recruiting things, you know, who's coaching tips and who they play. And during football season, it's just really hard to not unfold that paper and then read things about the football. And what I've had to do is find some place, either fold it up, put it out of sight, do something to get away from it, or my mind is going to go there. So your workspace, if you can keep it clear from distractions, and that may be a radio. For me, quiet time is quiet. The first time of the morning when I get up from bed, that's when I'm most creative. My brain has room. There's nothing occupying it. And for me, where I've had the best problem-solving creative times is those first few moments when nobody else is up, it's quiet, and it really is just God and myself, and my brain is unoccupied. And if the radio turns on and they're talking about news reports or whatever, that fills all that space for me. And I feel like I've been robbed. And I was telling my wife about this recently. She apologized, you know, because she turns it on to get the weather because she does carpool. But I just explained to her that really helps me, because when the radio comes on, I get out of that room because I don't want it stealing all my empty space. So it helps me get out of bed. And so it really is a help. But there are times, I remember there was a conference we had several years back at a different facility, and one of the things that they did was turn on spiritual music each morning at a certain time, which I think it's a good idea to encourage worship, but at least at that particular time, a lot of us were trying to have our quiet time. And for me, I was listening to the music, and I could not disengage my brain from that in order to have my quiet time. And others, you guys may like to have noise, a little bit of music and stuff. It may help you think better. It's just I'm wired up differently, and I really seek the solitude. So one of the things that helps is to have earplugs. You know, if you're in a roommate situation, there are other times when it's hard to find a place where you can get by yourself, but earplugs can help. So if you didn't pack any earplugs for a conference, learn your lesson. Buy earplugs at Walmart, put them in your suitcase. You can have them. They help at night too when people snore. If there are work items, you might want to have your Palm Pilot or Daytimer there with you, because that's a way to deal with distractions. If something pops up like, oh, I've got to call Fred, or, man, I need to pay this, then you've thinking, gosh, I don't want to forget that. So your mind is occupied not forgetting it, so you can't get to looking at the Word. So write it down. Get your Palm Pilot or whatever, Daytimer. Write down what you don't want to forget. Go ahead and break your routine, write it down, and then you know you're not going to forget that, and that will let you focus again on your quiet time. And I don't know if you have computer games or anything. I mean, just things visually or auditory that are distract you. It's good to try to at least put some space. Turn your chair around, do something. And in reading, I'm going through random stuff here. Okay, these are random tips. There are times if you're teaching Sunday school or leading Bible study, or those of you who are in ministry and speaking, doing sermons, there is a sense where you do want to look for ideas and let God speak to you so you can speak to others. But if the quiet time becomes just a time where you're filtering stuff for other people, you lose that fellowship thing that God is just you and me. The things I'm learning here, may not be of value to anybody else, but just us. So at least be on guard. If you're using your quiet time just as a chance to, as a filter to look for ideas, you'll get some, but you'll miss that fellowship time, that you and me type, friends, buddies, thing with you and God. So just be on guard with that. Then boredom, keeping going or freshening up. There are some ways to deal with boredom. Reading the Bible through is helpful. In fact, I've done that for a long time now. What I use is the, what's nicknamed the Australian Bible Reading Plan, because it was printed in Australia. So it's called the Australian Bible Reading Plan. The BSU, I think, still has this in print, or they have the rights to copy it. And this has three columns, two Old Testament and one New Testament. If you read two Old Testament and one New Testament selections a day, you'll read the Bible through in a year. And I found it a little hard to do because I was trying to hit my goal, and schedule-wise, it was hard to keep doing that. So what I do is I read a New Testament section in the morning, and then some other stuff I'll show you in a minute. And then I read one of the Old Testament sections in the evening time, just before I go to bed. And that way, every year I'm reading through the New Testament, and every 2 years I'm reading through the Old Testament. And I have found that provides me enough variety that I really haven't been bored, because God's continuing to speak to me. But you may find if your reading plan, if it's dry, you may want to just change it up, like a proverb a day. Some of you, do any of you do that? Read a chapter of Proverbs daily? Yeah?
That's where I started, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, except for the months that only have 30 days, and you missed the one about the woman, virtuous woman. Yeah, and that way you just, and if you miss a day, it's like, oh, where do I start again? Okay, 18th. Okay, I'll read Proverbs 18 today. Or maybe reading a psalm a day. Again, having the goals is a way to get you started. But if you're thinking about getting to know God, being His friend, then make that your goal. Read things where God's speaking to you. Instead of reading a whole chapter, you may want to read one chapter over a week. Maybe read 3 to 4 verses and just flesh it out. Journal it, you know. You may want to emphasize reading for a while, and maybe not so much time as far as praying. Or you may want to expand the prayer time and cut back a bit on praying. But still, the idea is to find what's fresh and how God's speaking to you. So change it up. That can help. Let me give you a dry run on what I do, and then that'll give us about half an hour to talk about nuts and bolts stuff. So another way to freshen up your reading is to read a different version of the Bible. At least I read English stuff. I was visiting with, getting to know Frank, who's from San Antonio. And I want to learn Spanish at some point. I know very, very little, but I do have a Spanish Santa Biblia, and I tried a little bit reading some portions in Spanish, and I didn't continue it completely, but I still want to kind of go back to that. And it is interesting to see how the language is different and the thought is different, and it puts a different twist on the verse. So that's a long-term goal, so that I get to the point where I can maybe read in a different version. Another aside, Pablo Reynoso is a fellow with the Navigators, and he lives in San Antonio, by the way. And he is a representative for developing the Hispanic ministries for the Navigators. And he spoke at a conference several years ago, and one statement he made really caught me off guard. He was in Monterrey, or Guadalajara, living in Mexico and working with Mexican nationals. And he said it came to him a point of a lordship decision if he was going to have his quiet time in English, his heart language, or in Spanish, because he was ministering. They were relating to Hispanics in Mexico. And, of course, I had never thought of that. I just thought y'all just have a quiet time in English. But if you have more than one language, that's the way to change it up. But I'm this year I'm reading through the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's one of the newer ones. And it really is pretty refreshing. I was reading in the Exodus, a Pharaoh called the children of Israel slackers. He said, "You're slackers." Okay, great. But it's an accurate translation with modern idioms and making it easy to read. So if things are kind of dry, a different translation, the NAVs have the Message, which is very much a paraphrase. But if you want to get a different tack, a different look at Scripture, you know, try reading a different translation and freshen it up for you. But anyway, I'm reading this year in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And in the morning time, again, New Testament, and then, so I usually start by reading, and it helps me get the cobwebs checking out. And then I have just a few things that help me read. This is 30 Days Muslim Prayer Facts. Our church had a missions conference, and this was part of that to be used during the Ramadan. The Feast of Ramadan, but it's 30 days of praying for Muslims, and it just has different messages for each day. And so today was a focus on Barua District, Cameroon, and some items and things how to pray. So it doesn't take very long, so I just read through that and just pray what they've asked. Then I know that there are folks who just they seem to have a gift of just praise and praying, and I've never felt like I've been able to do that. And they come up with these amazing things they say to God that I think is just incredible. You know, how do you think of that? You know, and all the names of God and all that stuff. But Ruth Meyer had written this a long time ago. It's 31 Days of Praise, and it has a selection for each day of the month. Father, I'm so delighted that you are both loving and sovereign, and that you cause all things to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And she just goes on and on and just begins thinking. So Ruth Myers has put together something that helps me praise. At least it greases the wheels. And at least I'm expressing something to God, adoration, you know, confession, thanksgiving. So it helps jumpstart me, and it takes just a moment. And then I have several things, prayer letters and other things. I have an accountability group where we pray for each other, and I have some requests for those guys. I try to pray daily. And then another group of us who get together yearly and share yearly prayer requests, so I have one of those for each day of the week. So I just pray through those. This is the intercessory things. Then I have something I pray for my kids and my wife, and this is in your handout, prayer for children. And I just go through each of these items, praying for my boys. Today was that the Lord would guard their minds from satanic, worldly, and carnal influences. 2 Corinthians 11:3. So I pray that today. God, guard their hearts from these influences, these kids at school, whatever. And then there is an item for praying for my future daughters-in-law. And then for my wife, saying these things to pray for her. So I just follow through an item for each one. And then another prayer letter from some folks that we support. And there's a group called Life Action Ministries, which puts out something praying for the president. And there's an item here for each day, praying for the president. Today was that God would pray that President Bush would daily seek the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus in order that every work he begins may be done with all his heart and succeed. 2 Chronicles 31:21. So I'm praying for the president every day. And then my friend Paul, who helped follow me up, is now a missionary in the Philippines. So he had some requests here, and this is on the Tausugs, a very staunch Muslim tribe, and some things to pray for. So I pray for one of these items for the Tausugs. And those are my prayer goals. And that doesn't take me that long. But really, when you think about it, that's a lot of territory to get to cover. And it sounds real complicated, but it's not. And I have some friends who have the 2959 notebook and have these things planned out by the month, and it's really well organized. I haven't been able to survive with that. So I read something, pray, and then I've been reading My Utmost for His Highest. So some time to reflect. And he always just speaks way above me. But so I read that and reflect again some more. And then here's another 31 Biblical Virtues to Pray for Your Kids. This is by Bob Hostetler. He is out of, the publication is Pray. But each day of the month I pray the character trait for my kids, my three boys. And then I do that. And if I want to pray for some more stuff, I do it. Otherwise, I go get dressed and go to work. So that's what I do. And it takes about 15 minutes to do that. And I remember hearing, you guys probably are way above me, way beyond me on this. I have a lot of 7 o'clock meetings and things like that. And if I'm staying up late the night before, it's hard to get up and for me to have an hour in quiet time. So I've tried to figure out what I can do, because I'm very much a hacker. I'm slugging away. I'm doing what I can to just keep up and survive and all that stuff. My kids, teenagers, 10 o'clock, their bodies don't shut down automatically. And so staying up late and getting up early, as that goes on, I can't survive. But I can do this. And I'm chasing God. I'm desperate. God, I need you. And at least I put myself in that holy habit, so it gives him a chance to speak to me and for me to listen. So that's what I do. Now we have time for questions, and you guys get to teach. So what do you think? Other questions, ideas, suggestions, problems, how to get started, tips? This is the workshop. Yes, sir.
I think the church does work and believe in it, and even asking for that desire to want.
Oh, so asking God to...
to give you that desire to want to pour His Word into your life.
So you're suggesting praying and
praying
asking
for
God.
That. So that when you wake up in the morning, that for some reason today, it's not so hard to get up.
Motivation.
Oh, God, okay, yeah.
Self-discipline.
Yeah.
Not to get rid of the habit, but to pray that desire.
Yeah, because ideally what you would want as you chase the habit over years, then if you've had little kids, you understand things like bowel habits, they're important, and bowel training and all that. In a sense, if you're training yourself, emotional, mental, body physiology training, you get to the point where you have the quiet time, like you breathe. And hopefully, that's where you can get. And where you're not, it's not a drudgery, but it's something you do just because that's just who you are. That's a different way to say that, but that really is the goal, because it's a relationship. I don't know about you guys, but when I was dating, I didn't have to, just grit my teeth and say, oh, I gotta go pick up that girl. Oh, we've just got to go to that movie and go eat. Oh, man. It wasn't very hard to do. I was motivated because there was a love relationship that started there. That's a good point. Ask God to give you the motivation. Yes, sir.
I would kind of like to, because I'm new to all of this.
You're at the right place.
Right on. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior September 1st, 2004.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you. But the enemy is like tempting me every day, every single day. He knows where my weaknesses are.
Yeah.
Or should I say, he knows I'm weak over everything, And I try to get into the Word a lot. I want to overlearn quiet time. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to tie my shoes. No, you just have to do it without thinking about it, right? Or how do I tie my shoes? I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I want to overlearn it so I can, like he was saying, I want to be motivated, because I'm lazy, man. I would rather sit there and eat my Rice Krispies and watch TV, watch Good Morning America, instead of doing what I need to, you know.
Well, see, you're taking stock, though. You're looking at the situation, and you're taking stock of the hurdles you have to deal with. Do you mind? This is workshop. Do you mind if we just work on it with you?
Not at all, please.
So what time do you get up, typically?
I can't sleep 47 hours, no matter what time I go to bed. So about 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, and then when I wake up, if I lay there and I'm like, oh, I want to go back to sleep, I keep my feet over the cold side of the bed, I can't, man. My back will start hurting. Something will start hurting. I got to get up. So I'm up at 7 o'clock.
What time do you have to be at work?
As soon as I call in and say, you know, I'm a contractor. So as soon as I go to work, I'm up.
Okay, so you're, in a sense, you're your own boss,
right.
Sort of. Okay,
right.
All right.
And that's tough, you know, because, again, I'm stubborn and I'm lazy and I want the little magic pill to make everything better, you know.
What about an accountability partner?
Yeah, so I was going to say, guys, work on him. Let's, so having an accountability partner would help. Is there someone that you can ask to make you accountable who's willing to do that for you?
Yeah.
That would be a way to...
Well, there's several guys like my boss. This happens to be the guy that led me to Christ. And this September 1st, 2004, and now I'm working for him. And I've been working for him for about a month now. But he's strong, and I got another good friend named Dick Wakeman that, you know, I lost my father December 21st and didn't find out about it till the 26th, and I haven't had any feelings over it. It's so scrambled because there's people out digging in his yard. There's people been arrested for breaking in his house. My ex-stepmother broke into his furniture store and took $10,000 in antique furniture. And I don't know why I'm just getting off on this. I'm like getting off the subject, but I feel like I need to do something because I'm tempted and I'm weak by everything that I'm being tempted with, you know. And I don't want to fold. I don't want to lay down, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this walk. I'm trying to be a soldier, and nobody, I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy.
Psalm 62:8 is a verse you might want to just consider. In it, it says, God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart at all times, O peoples. God is a refuge for us. And, you know, part of the idea of the quiet time, you may not have a structure like that that you can stick to just yet. But if you have a time where you just unload all that stuff, I mean, if it's in your heart and it's hurting, God is there and he says, casting all your cares upon him, 1 Peter 5:7,
right.
Because he cares about you. And that may be a lot of what your quiet times are during times like that. This is where I am. I can't think about much else. But God, this stuff. And he invites you just to unload that stuff. And if that's a hindrance for getting started in your pattern, I would use that. I mean, let that be what you're talking to him about. I'm just brainstorming with you.
Right.
That there's no time limit on a quiet time.
You mean you don't have to stop after 15 minutes?
When I first started, you know, sometimes when you're just starting, you can't just go on and on and on and on because it isn't a habit yet.
Yeah.
But when you swing your feet over the side of the bed, before you ever move, just start right then. Say, Lord, thank you for what you gave me yesterday, and I look forward to the blessings that you're going to fill in my life today. And just start right there and get your prayer and get you 3 to 5 minutes right then talking with the Lord. And then get up, and the next day or a week later, you add a couple more minutes, and pretty soon you can start getting more and more into it. If you try to stretch yourself out 15, 20 minutes praying, it will take you 1 or 2 days of trying that and stumbling on your face, and pretty soon you're going to quit it. God wants you, and he don't care if he gets that one good minute from the love that's engraved in your heart or whether he gets that 45 minutes. Start slow, keep building, and work on it the rest of your life.
Amen. Yeah, that's what I've been saying all this time. He just gave us the workshop right there. That's it. He did. Yeah, Eric.
I had a godly guy tell me one time, too. He said, if you're having a problem getting up in the morning and getting to the table or getting to the desk or wherever, just remember God's waiting on you. You know, if you wait laying there and you just think, you know what, Christ is at that table waiting on me this morning. I need to get up and go be with him. Just visualize that in your mind that he's there, because he is. He's waiting on you. And the other thing too to keep in mind is, and I get into the situation sometimes where I want to take in too much. I get so excited about the word, and I want to take in too much too fast. I'm not taking small enough bites. I'll get discouraged because it's kind of discouraging at times, because you want to learn and you want to go on and you want to grow, but if you try to take in too much at one time, that'll even discourage you more. And you really take small bites and just grow from that and meditate on that, on those single verses or a couple single verses. Just something I want to share.
Yeah, and again, you're not trying to impress anyone. You're not being graded. This is really, it's the same kind of thing. Jesus did a lot of things on the Sabbath that he got criticized for. In fact, because he was doing things like healing on the Sabbath, he got some of the rulers so angry they were willing to kill him because of that. And he made the point after they had picked grain, some grain, and ate it on the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he said, you know, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And in this kind of thing, the quiet time, it's not that you're doing it to get brownie points with God. He's not grading you either. And not to impress your ministry leader or whatever. Even though you're making yourself accountable, it's the accountability.
Myself in the long run for myself.
Exactly. This is you and God. And if you keep that in mind, you're not trying to achieve something. You're just trying to keep the communication up. But you want to be consistent. Yes.
I think what helped me too is that I would have like a conversation. Like if I'm talking to someone else. It wasn't so much like a prayer. At first I was trying like, oh God, oh, holy art thou, and all this stuff. But then later I started thinking, wait a minute, you know, he's a person, you know, and he's... So I started having a conversation, just like you have a conversation with another person. And, hi, how you doing, Lord? You know, and this is the way I feel today, or I'm happy today, or whatever, but just simple talk, just conversation. And then that'll lead to more conversation, you know.
I found that, you know, and this was a lot for me years and years ago. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, ugh, man, I don't want to get up. I just want to, I'm going to have a terrible day. And sure enough, I end up having a miserable day. And this went on for years and years. I just got into the habit of doing that, waking up in a bad mood. Well, I changed it. I wake up and I tell myself, oh, this is going to be a great day. Oh, this is going to be a great day. I feel good. It turns out to be a good day.
There's quite a bit. Setting your mind.
It's all yes in your mind.
Yeah. Have you tried a different time of the day? Because the morning time is not a required time. You can have your quiet time anytime, right, as long as it's a time that you appoint to meet with God. So I know we stress the meeting a lot, the morning time, which is a great time. It works for most people, but not all. Maybe you should try a different time.
Well, it seems like the morning time is the only time I have any downtime to myself. You know, I mean, during the day, man, I'm going. I've got no time, you know.
You take breaks during the day? You get a 10, 15 minute break?
When I want to, if I want one, yeah. I mean, I don't really, I smoke cigarettes, that's my break.
That's fine, you can smoke a cigarette and read the New Testament. Put the New Testament in your pocket and just start at the beginning of it while you're smoking that cigarette. Just start reading. And I got a little paper clip, three or four of them in here and stuff, the places that I read.
Because it takes 3 minutes. How long to smoke a cigarette?
Three or four times during the day.
Three minutes?
Okay. Yeah, I started carrying a verse pack around with me, and I get, you know, it's out of the NIV, and I study it, and like I can just rattle off some scriptures that I know, I don't know the verse number, but I know, like, Scripture.
That's a mini quiet time. That's one of the values of the portable Scripture memory cards, because you can have emergency quiet times, you know, and it helps me when the train is coming and I'm sitting there in the car for 3 to 5 minutes wasting time. But what I can do, the verse pack, I can pick up some verses and have a miniature quiet time. That still counts. I mean, that's still a connection time. Yeah.
And this verse pack, I'm real bad with patience. I don't know the meaning of it. But this right here, I don't know what it is, but this will show you patience. I have no problem with, like, oh, I wish I could get done with this. I have no problem. I enjoy it.
Great. Yes, sir.
I can't hear the word very good. How long would you say it's been since you accepted the Lord?
September 2004. That's how many months? 5 months?
I think
5 months. March 1st would be 6 months.
For one thing, he should be studying the Gospel of John very much. You know, just go through that and go through it. Because Jesus is reassuring of his love and salvation for us, and the other thing is the Psalms. But the other thing is just, you know, like the other brother said, you don't have to do it in the morning or any time. If you take off for lunch, and what helps me sometimes is in the morning I go outside when it's still dark and just look at the stars or something, or just see the sunrise or something. God reveals himself in, you know, many ways. You just kind of let your mind communicate with the Lord.
Where do you live?
I live in Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see you. Go ahead.
You can talk with God walking down the street, you know, and you don't have to get on your knees walking or you, whatever you do, even if it's a little thing out of line or stuff, you can ask forgiveness for it as you go and stuff like this. You don't have to wait till the end of the day and stuff for asking forgiveness on stuff. As you go on, you'll get where you're praying continuously all day, little prayers and stuff. And the reason you want to try and do this, especially myself, is if I can keep thoughts of the Lord in my mind, I can keep that door shut and keep Satan from putting his thoughts in there. And but when you break your little patterns and you get a little sick and you do other things, like the last 2 weeks, he's beat me up and I haven't been able to keep up with my reading and stuff. But since I've got down here, I'm starting to get more back into the feeling that I've missed for a couple of weeks. And I mean, it will drag you down in a hurry, but it's just one of them obstacles. But you've got to keep looking straight ahead. But our path to get around the obstacles, to get where we're going, might not be the straight line, but our focus has to be straight. I talked too much.
This is a workshop. Yes, sir.
I just want to add one more thing. I just thought of it. You know, congratulations for stepping to the Lord just a few months ago. And I just encourage you to get these practices in order in your life and really get it down. Just keep working at it, because I've been a Christian all my life. I grew up in the church. I'm 35 years old, and I really didn't start working on this until I was about 30. And all that time that I lost when I was younger, I can't get back. And I just encourage you just to keep that fire burning and seek out accountability and get these practices in order. I've just now started working on my growth, and it's just real important.
Thank you. Thank you.
So is everybody having a regular, daily, consistent quiet time? If not, what's keeping you from it?
I just wanted to make a point that not to make your quiet time legalistic, you know, because I have a hard time with that, and if I miss, I beat myself up over it, I get discouraged. And being legalistic about it is really easy to do. And if you miss a day, you missed a day. Tomorrow's a new day.
God knows. He understands.
Yep.
He's on your side.
Legalism is really tough on quiet time.
Yeah, legalism is where we add man-made laws
to God's laws. And it helps me conceptually the idea of inductive Bible study. If you think of three columns, one is what the Scripture says, and that's just literally Greek and whatever. This is just one of the methods that I was taught. But you have what the Scripture says, that's immutable. I mean, that's the word. The middle columns, you know, what does it mean? There's some certain things that need interpreted, like a King James version of it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Well, it's a King James word. I understood that to mean what you're talking about. But the word means your manner of life. You're conversing, you're going in and out. So, yeah, King James says conversation, but that means your manner of life. So what does the Scripture say? What does it mean? And then what does it mean to me? And that's those personal applications. And when we struggle with something and we find an application that really, really works, it's tempting to give that application the same weight as we do Scripture. And that's where legalism is, where you take, you know, God said this to me, or this worked for me, therefore you have to do this. And it may be very, very helpful, but it also may be an additional burden that's not a command. And if you keep that in mind, there are opinions, policies, methods, personal applications, but you can't give those the same weight as you do Scripture. And that helps me to process that. Because someone may be very, very convinced that this is the way you have quiet time, or this is why you have church, or whatever. But if it's not mandated specifically in Scripture, then it's in the realm of policy and pattern or cultural preference. But at least that helps me to keep making those things legalistic. That's why I asked if you could find a place where, you know, quiet time is actually commanded in Scripture. The pattern's there, but the command is not. Well, we may stop just a few minutes early, if you don't mind. Let me just kind of summarize. The whole point of this workshop is to encourage each of us with that holy habit. And as much as we struggle with the pattern, and I tend to buck a system if it says this time every day, do it this way. I tend to buck at that because I tend to be a little more creative with it and loose and flexible. But at the same time, there is value to treating yourself as a pattern and helping that habit, which means a specific time. It may be a specific way. Just understand what you're doing with that. It's not a way to get brownie points with God. It's not a way to accomplish something or to be more spiritual than so-and-so. But you're trying to establish that habit. So like Matt was talking about, then it becomes a heart pattern that you're doing because that's who you are and that's what you do. But oftentimes that habit is a school teacher to bring us to the point of grace, which is where we can function in freedom and follow that holy habit. So how about if I pray for us, and then we can launch ahead with creative ways of having a consistent holy habit, meeting with God. How's that? Heavenly Father, thank you again that it was your idea to create us and to put in us the capacity to have a relationship, and that you value that so much that even with David, your assessment of him was he was a man after your heart. And you didn't talk about what he did, but how he related to you. And the same with Abraham. He was your friend because he believed you. And Father, we want to do that too. We want to be men of self-control and be consistent men. But at the same time, we want to be men who are guided by our heart toward you. And we want to be your friends. And we invite you to continue changing us and making us into those kinds of men. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.